Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. What did he say?
I didn't understand.
What?
Texting.
If you want to text, it's 334-669-0920. Now, if you'd like a picture of the snow here at the church in Montgomery, just text and we'll get you a copy. Oh, I'm glad you could finish your biscuit you didn't want to share with me, you little sneaker. Yeah, you little stinker. I thought I was going to like you, but I'm starting to decide otherwise. I wouldn't share. No, she did offer me a bite of her biscuit at the end, but that was after I offered a donut hole. You know. Romans chapter 8, I want to talk to you about you and your relationship with Christ. To me, Romans chapter 8 deals heavily with the relationship that you have with Christ. And I'm going to read down, but I really want to get down to verse 15 and 16 is where I want to go. Okay? He says, there is therefore now, how many condemnation? No condemnation.
Now, why would that be?
He's finished it all. You know, people today that feel guilt or condemnation, it is not because of what Christ did. It's because they think it's something they do. And the condemnation comes for being under the law. In fact, that's what the last part is really about. There is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. But it didn't say period. It said comma. Who walk not after the flesh. Well, walking after the flesh has to do with keeping the law. Okay? If you're under the law, what's happening? You're walking in the... That's walking in the flesh. Something's wrong here. Oh, that's right. That's okay. Walking in the flesh. Anytime you get under the law, what are you going to feel?
He's coming up to confess.
Can I confess?
This shows a good chart.
I'm afraid it's going out. That pop coming twice. He went down. He went down. He went down.
He's
walking out. He's riding
out.
We don't do walk the aisle for Jesus, we do ride the aisle.
We'll pray for
you. All right, you may want to turn the volume up a little, I don't know, as well.
It's looking like an altar thing.
Whoa, them are fighting words.
Yeah, you do kind of look like an Auburn fan, by the way. You would have to walk the aisle if you were an Auburn fan.
Yeah, I'd have to do more than walk the aisle if I was an Auburn fan.
Anyway, there would be condemnation if you walked after the flesh. You would feel the guilt. Even though you're saved, even though you're complete in Christ, your mental mind would be, I'm not good enough. And of course, my job as a pastor is to make sure you understand the relationship. And watch this. Now, this is very important. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, everybody, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Does the law of sin and death have anything to do with you anymore?
No.
It did. When Christ took that on the cross, He fulfilled the law of sin and death. He completed that law. Therefore, there is no sentence of sin accounting or death upon you. He says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the what? Sin is gone. Everything about sin was paid for at the cross. Okay? Everything that was about sin was paid on that cross. And notice it did not say sins. It said sin. That's very, very important. Why? We're not talking about an action of smoking, drinking, playing cards. We're talking about the nature that you have inside of you, that's the Adamic nature, that sinful nature that you are. And he did what? Condemned sin in the flesh. Now, when you see the word condemn, what does that mean to you?
Set for trial.
What?
You're set for trial.
Yeah, it's been proved beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Right.
He has condemned sin in the flesh. What happened to sin? It's been taken out of the way. It's been found guilty and was taken out of the way. Well, you got to think about what religion has done over us for a good period of time now. And that is, they want to put the guilt back on our shoulders to control us by the reins of sin. They put the bit in a horse's mouth to control that horse. Religion puts a bit into your mouth, and they keep reading the law. And what happens when you read that law over and over again? Yeah, you feel that guilt. You can't. How can you come up and say, "Boy, I'm a Joe Christian," when you don't? You know you don't love God with all your mind, heart, and soul. I mean, bless God, I love Brenda a lot. Y'all understand? I love Larry with brotherly love. I do not love God with all my mind, heart, and soul. It is not a complete act for me. I would like it to be. I wish it could be. I'd be a better guy if I was capable of doing that. And I don't have the capacity to do that. Why? I was born in Adam. Now watch. So he condemns sin in the flesh. Notice the colon. What does colon mean? Yeah, something's going to be more important. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. Who aren't out there trying to just keep it. You with me? Walking, you know, we're walking not at, we're not saying, "Hey, it's us, it's us. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing as a Joe," you know. And my second sermon is going to be about a guy named Joe the Christian, just like Joe the plumber. You know, Joe the plumber had 15 minutes of fame. Joe the Christian has 15 minutes of fame. But you know what? It's one thing to know what it is. You know, I was watching Rush. He's crazy. But he says some really great things. And one of the things he said that was really powerful is your core belief is what you live. You understand? You don't. People say, you know, you're who what you are. I am what I am. Yeah, I don't pull any punches. I am who I am. I took a test called a what was the name of that test? DISC test. And I went to, this was at a network marketing meeting up at Batesville, Arkansas, that they had me take this test. And I was 100% D, which is dominant, and 100% I, which is independent. And then the scale levels down here were like 75 and 84. And they do it both for your home and your work. And they found out by taking this test that most people fake their work. They fake who they are. I was exactly the same numbers both at home and at work. And I dumbfounded the people taking the test. He says, "You're the real deal. You're who you are." He says, "Most people aren't who they really are. They fake it one place or fake it in another place." And I tell you that because I don't try to be anything other than what I am. Why? Because I'm not. This has never been about Barry Hampton. The church, all the deal? It has to do with Christ. And it always is that way in my life. And the glory goes to Him. So He says, now watch. He said the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what do we want to do? Is walk after the what?
Spirit.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. How many people have gone to a church and their thing was attendance and baptisms and memberships, and they put it up on the board? You know, what they're doing is trying to glory in the flesh. They're trying to glory in that, what they're doing. Look at what we have accomplished. Well, what happens if you were like Noah? And the only people you got saved were your three boys and their wives. I mean, you know, was that successful? I mean, we wouldn't see it as success, would we? But was it successful in the eyes of God? It accomplished exactly what God wanted done. The point that I'm trying to make is sometimes we try to walk in the flesh, count the things of the flesh, count the things we're doing in the flesh, but that isn't a relationship that you can sustain. Nobody can fake it long enough and good enough to be a Christian. Nobody can. If we were given enough time, guess what? We would all be found out that we have lots of shortcomings. If I took William and I brought William up, and we could just open up William and see what he thinks inside. When nobody's looking. When nobody can see him. We see what's actually in him. Not what we see of William, but what actual William thinks. What do you think we would see? How many would volunteer for that? To come up here and just open themselves up and let them see your real thing. See, it's one thing to fake it out. It's another thing to confront what you are. I think it would be interesting. I probably would imagine the higher you think of yourself, the more we would see there that there wouldn't be any reason to do that. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because we tend to walk in the flesh. We tend to want to put that front of righteousness out there. We want to impress people that we're Joe Christians. The best way you can profess to be Joe Christian, I think, is in Romans chapter 7. Look in Romans 7 before we read on. Verse 18. Well, I'm going to start in 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwell in me. For I know that in me, everybody, that is in my flesh. Let's try that again. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Most people don't believe that about themselves. Most people, I guarantee you, believe in their mind that they are good. That they've accomplished something, that they've got it going on. But Paul says, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. How many here have the will to want to do what God wants? Well, hey, I've got that. But this next statement is the one that always has dumbfounded me. Everybody. But how to perform that which is good, I find some of the time. I don't even find it. It isn't. I want to do right, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. That is an incredibly hard, honest statement. That is difficult. My relationship with Christ is, He's the one that made me acceptable. I'm accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians says. Right. I'm not accepted in what I do. And so Romans 8 really has to do with your relationship with Christ. Or look back in Romans chapter 8. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do what? Do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Who is carnally minded? The ones that are walking under the law. Connecticut.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Connecticut. You may want to push that door too. The wind's been blowing. It won't hardly shut because the oil is cold, I think. I'm not sure. Still snowing out there? So they that walk after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And then they says to be carnally minded is what? If you think, just think. For 1,500 years, what happened? Nobody kept the law. There has got to be some kind of huge ego that makes you think you can keep the law. That has got to be one huge ego. That's amazing, really. 1,500 people, the guys that heard it every Sabbath day for 1,500 years, not one. Not one. Could keep it. Romans 8. Now watch. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? This is, hey, you're set free, aren't you? You know your relationship. I'm not walking around going, I'm wondering if I'm married. You understand? I'm not going, am I married? No, I'm married. I'm at peace with that. Brenda may not be, but I am. You know? As I spoke, the blizzard came in. Look at that back there. You all understand? My relationship with Christ is so that I'm not wondering about that relationship. That I have to prove something that I... Listen, I don't whip out my marriage certificate and show you. I don't need to. I told her if we really have to do it legally, we'll go before the county courthouse. Verse 7. The fact that you think you can do it on your own, listen to what he said. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Because you won't trust his son, and you think you can do it on your own. How many has had children that act like they can do it on their own? And they fail. And then they try to come up with their excuse why they fail. Boy, I mean. If you got children, you know what I'm talking about. Well, think of what God's saying. Look, he said, I've offered my son for you, but I'm going to do it on my own, God. I'm going to be the best Christian yet, God. I'm going to be Joe Christian. And what God's doing is, why aren't you just relaxing in my son? You're making the offer that I made of my son mute. Mute. You're not giving the glory to... I guess that volume came through okay. You see what I'm saying? I mean, if you think about it for just a minute, we're talking about denying the finished work of Calvary. You're saying, hey, I'm better for the doing that I am. I'm better because I try to love my neighbor. I try to do the right thing. I try to take care of somebody.
That's the word.
But you know what? You're not. And look in Titus. Look in Titus. I love this in Titus. Let me get my specs on. Verse 16, Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Now watch. This is the whole point of Romans chapter 8, where we just read in verse 7. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. But in works they deny Him? Well, how do they deny Him in works? Because you're trusting your own works and not the finished work of Calvary's cross. Do you all see that? If you see that, shake your head just a little bit yes. Or if you're confused, go in circles. If you don't see it, go like this. You guys on camera, I can't see what you're doing. But whatever, just stay confused a little bit. No, I want you to get it straight. You all understand that if you're trying to be a Christian and you're doing all these works, what you're literally doing is denying Him. In fact, He calls you an enemy. So think of all the Christians at church that are, every Sunday they show up, you know, and they do everything just because they want to show what they are. You don't have to prove to me. You're either a Christian or you're lost. You know? You can tell when people serve people out there. They asked me whether Mac was going to show up with all the snow, and I told them. I said, Mac will show up. Y'all understand? Wasn't any question in my mind. But everybody's going, oh, man, that's a long way to go in the snow. I'm like, listen, it won't slow you down. It said, William, he's got driving in from Greenville. He'll be here. Yeah, no, I know, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. It wasn't any question. Now, Jim was a little questionable. No, I'm just kidding. 5 minutes away. 5 minutes away, and Brenda's going, call Jim now. He's going to use this snow. I said, no, Jim will show up. Yeah. Hey, listen to what it said in Titus. They profess that they know God. Anybody know the people that profess that they know God?
Yes.
They know I know the Lord. And yet in their works, you know that they're trusting what they're doing. So, and how you can test that is ask them the question. If you were to die tonight, where would you go and why? And they go, well, I'm going to heaven because I've been baptized. What did they just do?
Work is in that flesh.
They just denied Him. They're walking in the flesh. They're walking in what they have done. They're counting on what they have done. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By their works, they deny Him. Say, well, I joined the church. Can you get a close-up of that? I gave a tenth of all that I possess. Whoopee. In all that, you could be denying Him. Counting on that. Go back to Romans chapter 7. See, I believe Titus, Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8, powerful, powerful books. Now, I want to read verse 7 again. Romans 8, verse 7, he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. Now here it is. Everybody repeat this with me. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're doing anything in the flesh, you're not pleasing God. What you're doing is diminishing His glory. What you're doing is taking away from what He's completed and what He has done. You're taking pieces of His glory and trying to count it to yourself. You know who did that? Satan. I will exalt my throne above the throne of the Most High. I will. You know. And in that, you're denying the finished work of Calvary. And not only are you denying it, but you're really taking away from it. You're not only denying, you're taking away from it. And you know, people start to, you know, if you give them a chance, they'll talk themselves right out of the finished work of Calvary. Well, why are you saved? Well, I've been a good Christian my whole life. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Well, I've tried to be the best I could be. That ain't good enough. God has been better for you than you have been for yourself. And this whole relationship, once you know you're complete in Him, what do? Say how good you are? Walk around telling people how great things you do? You pump Him up. You put Him as the exaltation. He's my all in all. Are you any good? I tell people all the time, I'm the worst pastor they know. Larry, don't agree with that. You should have seen Larry's eyes like. Hey, I'm going to tell you I'm no good. Why? Hey, it isn't about me. It's about Him. It's about the exaltation of my Savior. He did it all. And walking in that brings about peace. How about if you walk in the flesh? You have no peace. Why? You're on a treadmill. You're constantly on a treadmill, walking on the treadmill, trying to be the Joe Christian that everybody thinks you ought to be. Here's the deal. Everybody take a deep breath in here. Oh, you on the camera, watch. Everybody take a deep breath in. You know what? You're either lost right now or you're saved. Just relax. And that reality has to do with relationship. I'm not sitting up here wondering whether I'm married. I'm not wondering whether I have my mother-in-law living with me. I don't wonder whether I preach on Sunday. You know? It's the wind that was blowing that open. That's pretty impressive. Go down to Romans chapter 8. Verse 8 again. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, here's the question, here's the difference, if be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If you have the Spirit of God in you, are you in the flesh?
No.
Are you going to go around testifying of the flesh?
No.
You're going to go and testify of the finished work of Calvary. Now, ask your friends, how many's asked this question? If you were to die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? How many's asked that question? All right, what's happened, Stan?
Well, the last person I asked, she said that Jesus Christ died on the cross for her sins, and I was impressed.
All right, that's good.
When I asked, I confess my sins daily.
All right, well, that's interesting. See, the work of the flesh. Mac, you raised your hand?
I hope I.
Yeah, the idea of I hope.
Yeah.
Someone over here raised their hand. You ought to ask that question. You know what? You would start to have an eye-opening experience if you asked everyone that you came in contact with that question.
I had a lady that said she was better than a lot of the neighbors.
Yeah. No, I mean, they believe that. It, you know, The mouth speaks from the abundance of the heart. That, you know, the mouth speaketh. And so your mouth will tell what it is you believe. Your relationship. So he says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, I like you to note that it said the Spirit of God and then the Spirit of Christ. Why didn't you think the Holy Spirit used both those terms? Yeah, they're showing that they're the same. Christ and God are the same. Now watch. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of is life because of righteousness. Well, why do I have life? Because of right. You have to have righteousness to have life, right? And that righteousness is His righteousness. In fact, go to Romans chapter 9. Verse 30. Watch this. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness hath attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness, which is the walking in the flesh, hath not attained the law of righteousness. Why? And nobody kept it. It's not the doers of the law that are justified, not the hearer of the law that is justified. It's the doers shall be justified. They sought it by the work of the... And you know what? They felt guilty all the time. Here goes Larry. He's taking his... Look at that big old bull Larry's taking. What did Larry do? Man, Larry.
Yeah, well, he was dragging it with Harley too, what did he do? Right after he came back from Las Vegas.
Yeah. Man, he came back. And what stays in Vegas? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? That ain't true. The Lord knows.
Unless you pull the bull.
But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. How many people do you know have a zeal of God? A lot of people. But not according to knowledge. They're not going with the truth of the Word of God. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see, it's like that thing in Titus. They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny Him. That's the whole situation of the whole Romans through Philemon. It's almost amazing to me. I mean, can you see it any other way as you read these scriptures? Watch this. Verse 11, Romans 8. Back where we were. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in Him. Not by your good works. No way. Therefore, my brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now here's the verse. For ye have received the spirit of for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now the reason I'm saying that is if you were adopted, would you question whether your adoption?
No.
You wouldn't question it. You wouldn't be going around saying, hey, I can prove to you I got adoption papers. We had this thing, 88 reasons why the rapture was in 88. And I handed out these books and I said, look, I'm not necessarily in agreement with this book, but I want you to read it. And he's trying to make a case for the rapture in 88. And I had people during that month that we handed that book out try to prove to me that they were saved. Why were you trying to prove to me that you're saved? I mean, I had one lady telling me she's looked up her Sunday school records to when she had a testimony of salvation. I know it's in there. I'm like, why are you trying to prove it to me? Why are you trying to prove it to me? You don't have to prove anything to me. It is weird, isn't it? Listen to me. Everybody that is saved knows what it means to be saved.
Amen.
You don't have to, hey, all of us have different stories. That's why we give testimonies. But there's one solid thread between them all. And it's the finished work of Calvary. You may have come to it in one place or another. You may have been saved as a young person. You may be saved as an old person. But there's one common thread. And there's no question whether I can cry out to God, Abba, Father. That relationship is not questioned. My father, I was a pretty rotten kid. I know that's hard for you to imagine. The darling I am now. I'm thinking, Robert thinks he's had it rough. Listen, I cussed my father out one night. I'm not kidding you. He reached across that F-150. He opened the door and he says, get out of my truck. I'm like, I'm 5 miles. He said, get out of my truck. I was 17 years old. When I got to the house, everything I owned was piled up on the front porch. And there was a $100 bill stapled to it. And this is what we promised you when you left, this $100 bill. And, of course, they forgot my guitar. So I knocked on the door. I said, you got everything but my guitar here. Well, we're not giving it to you. And I said, it isn't yours to keep. I was so full of anger and hostility. And they, huh? Now, don't add to the story anything that wasn't there. Okay, a little bit of pride. And I took that 65 Mustang and I took out the passenger seat and I built me a bed in it. And I slept in that and finished high school. Not to get an education, but to prove to those dumb-witted parents I had that I could do it without it. Okay, a little bit of pride. Not a lot. That was Wayne coughing all the way from the media room. And you know what? All of that came about to bring me to the point that I knew that I wasn't any good before the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the 24th of August, 1983, I quit trusting what I had done because I had pretty much screwed it up pretty good by then. I was 24 years of age, and my life was in a mess. And Brenda had taken me to a church, and that man had taught me I mean, I honestly believed with all my heart that God was going to put my good on one side and my bad on the other and weigh it out. How many thought that at one time? Almost everybody here. But at that point in my life, my good didn't outweigh my bad. My bad by far outweighed. Think about kids today that sleep around like whores. They don't even think twice about it. Do they? Sleeping with people that aren't married? Come on, what do you call that? It used to be called adultery. We used to be we would be embarrassed to say we were adulterers. People don't think twice about it anymore. We almost kind of accept it. That's the way it is. Whatever happened to marrying if you love that person so much, why don't you just marry them? That's weird. It isn't about love, it's about sex. You love that person? Why don't you prove it? Step up and be the man or woman that you should be. Yeah, we put up with it. Our kids do it. We know our kids are way out of line. Because we're afraid to lose their friendship. We wouldn't tell them the truth if we had to. Because we were afraid they'd get mad at us. We won't tell them about Jesus Christ because we're afraid that we'll turn them off. I'd rather be turned off from my children. Listen to me very carefully. Than to say I didn't make the effort to make them eternal by the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? I would rather lose the friendship of my children. Listen to me very carefully. Trying to tell them about Jesus Christ. Than to have a friendship and never mention it and watch their souls bust hell wide open. Now, that's weird to me. But I love them. You do not love them. If you really loved them, you'd get in their face and tell them, you know what? That isn't acceptable here. You really love your children? Why don't you have a serious conversation with them about the Lord Jesus Christ? My parents never had that. You know why? My dad was lost. My mother was lost. I believe my mother went to the grave lost. That's hard to say, isn't it? That's a fact. You think a mother that loved her child wouldn't tell her child how to get saved? I never remember an intelligent conversation, not one time, in all my life, that my mother and father sat down to me and talked to me about salvation. Not one time. We talked about Christmas. We talked about the Easter stories. We went Easter egg hunting. But I don't remember one intelligent conversation about the book. Not one. Now, if you had the truth, and you had this relationship with Christ, don't you think you'd share it with your loved ones? Why wouldn't you share it with your loved ones? Mom and Dad's going to bust hell wide open. Oh, I'm not going to tell them about it. Might make them mad. Hang on. They're going to bust hell wide open, but you're not willing to mention it to them. That's weird, isn't it? Okay, well, they may get mad. Okay, let them bust hell open and see how mad they're going to be when they find out you knew. See, this relationship is deeper. I'd go around saying, hey, Brenda's she's the most incredible wife. I brag on her all the time. I think she's amazing. Well, wouldn't you do the same thing about your Savior who gave you eternal life? Now, we're going to talk about Joe Christian and the problem with Christianity here in about 10 minutes. So y'all take a break.